Welcome back to the History of Rocks, Rocks Remix Edition. It's been a long day, man. It's been a long day as Shim is sitting here as I'm farting around with my computer trying to make sure this thing doesn't crash while we're recording this.
Everything's going to be fantastic now.
Everything's going to be wonderful.
Thank you for joining us. We got some interesting stuff to talk about, some fun stuff. We're going to dive right into it. We've got five fast questions right at the end that are going to be faster than any other five fast questions. It's going to be fantastic. So what are we starting with?
Well, a couple of first things to note here. So I tried to run an ad for our Woodstock 99 part one. So like one of the things that you can do is you can go to YouTube and then you can essentially promote a video so that it will put it there for people who are have similar likes. If it's similar to videos that they're already watching, you can pick by demographics and things like that. Google didn't allow it. They shot it down.
Okay, why?
For shocking content.
Oh, fuck off. Fuck off. My God.
And all because we're talking about Woodstock 99. I mean, I don't really...
That's not... Okay, that's bizarre. All right, you know what? Okay, we'll talk about... I wish you told me that because we could have a whole discussion about this. We'll talk about it off the stream, the podcast. But basically, if you just throw it in again, I found that if you just do the exact same thing a second time, it gets through half the time. They just don't catch it.
Well, I'll give it
if it's bullshit. If it's a real thing, then they're going to catch it. But if it's bullshit, it's like some guy didn't have his fucking coffee at the right time. He's like, nah, fuck this guy. I'm going to make his life a little bit of hassle.
Well, we'll see. So, because generally, whenever I've spent any money on that kind of stuff, it's the shorts. This was the full episode. This was Woodstock 99 part one. Right. And yeah, I did it yesterday. Nah. And all of a sudden, I get the email later in the day where it's like, declined. And I was like, oh,
I seriously doubt that some, I mean, maybe, but maybe the people that are working at YouTube actually took the time to watch a full 45 minute to an hour podcast for one decline. They usually watch, they must watch 20 seconds and go, nah, pass. I can't watch it now. I can't devote an hour to it to find out. Okay, let's forget it.
The only other thing, they might have is they might have software that listens to what's being said and they have keywords where it's like,
Siri doesn't like our podcast. Well, fuck you, Siri. We don't like you either. Stop listening to my thoughts in my sleep.
All right. So before we get to the actual meat and potatoes of this episode, which just to give you a quick rundown, we're going to talk about Sons of Anarchy as it debuted almost 14 years ago. We're going to get to another Am I the A-Hole. I don't like doing back-to-back Am I the A-Holes, but this one kind of stood out. Not necessarily for the story. I was curious to know how Shim would respond in a situation such as this. And then, of course, we're going to have five fast questions. But Shim has a little music recommendation for anybody out there.
Oh, yes. And by the way, remind me, I do have a story for you after the Am I the A-Hole that relates to that Am I the A-Hole. I was just talking before we started recording about I Prevail's new record. I Prevail is officially my new favorite band. I love I Prevail.
More than Bring Me the Horizon, because you're pretty big on Bring Me the Horizon.
They just took the top spot. And it's because they blended more of the hip-hop feel with the screamo, and their melodies are like, just there's just, I can't say enough good things about the new record. And honestly, it's been 3 or 4 years, or 3 years since my solo record came out. And I remember thinking, the next thing I do, I want it to sound dangerous. That was the word that kept coming up. I wanted to, because I was like, the thing that's missing from rock and roll these days is some fucking danger. Guns N' Roses blew up big time because it sounded dangerous. Limp Bizkit sounded dangerous. At the moment, I haven't heard anything that really sounds dangerous except for Bring Me the Horizon. And for me, I Prevail just brought it. So, you know, guys, if you ever listen to this,
that's the album that you're.
Yeah. True Power is the name of the record. My favorite song is a song called Visceral, second last track. The fucking chorus is a straight up 10 slam dunk. If I listen to a chorus and get to the end of 8 bars and go, fuck, I wish I wrote that, then I know it's a good song. And I wish I wrote that chorus. It just ties at the end perfectly. It's got a great melody. It's got a great end line. The lyrics, everything works perfectly. It's true craftsmanship. Much more power to them. They've earned their place. This is their third or fourth studio record. They've been crunching it for a decade. They're poised, they're ready, and I'm just truly happy for them. And the last thing I will say on it, the thing that makes me the most happy and the reason that I recommend it deeply, it is highly aggressive music, but if you actually listen to the lyrics, The reason the band is called I Prevail, I think, is because the majority of their songs are literally a positive mantra where they've taken all the fucking haters and all the shit that got dealt to them when they were coming up as a band. And every song is about, fuck you, we're going to make this happen. Fuck you, we're going to be the biggest band in the world. You'll watch us from the fucking sidelines. We're going to be kings. We're going to be champions. And every song is about, we're going to fucking make it no matter what. And they're doing it. And I absolutely just cannot say enough how much I love the fact that there's a band making aggressive, dangerous music with a positive message that you can listen to and go, yeah, I'm going to get my goals too. So more power to them. Anyone listening, share it with them. I'd love them. I'd love to fucking talk to them one time, man. They're my new favorite band. That's the end of it.
Maybe we'll bring them on the podcast if they're willing to come on. I'm glad you said that too, because I mentioned this right before we started recording, is I am in a music funk right now.
Yes.
Like there's you go through phases, man, and there's times where I like to go to Spotify and I'll punch in a very specific artist, and the cool thing about like a Spotify or Amazon Music or Pandora is that based on this one song or based on this one artist, it will recommend a lot of things that are very similar. So you can kind of get in that mood of that kind of style of music. And I've just been in a rut. I mean, I'll listen. We're kind of working on Limp Bizkit in regards to the main episodes of the History of Rock. So I've been listening to a lot of Limp Bizkit, a lot of Korn, which is good. But
it ain't around no balls.
When I go for a run, I like to have just really, I like to be motivated by the music. And I listened to so much Limp Bizkit and Korn recently, I've burnt myself out on it. And then I don't know where to go from here. So at least now tomorrow when I go for a run, I'm going to check out I Prevail. So
100%.
Check them out as well.
That's one. I'm only going to do three of those. I promise. I'm going to pay attention to that.
I mentioned Shim. He has a crutch, by the way. So do a tally. Everybody come up with it. Where every time Shim says 100%.
My crutch is apparently saying 100%, which is a personal mantra of commitment, but I'm saying it so often that basically like, yeah, I agree with that. Or yeah, cool. I only say 100% now because I'm trying to be like everything 100%, achieve your goals, go, go, go. I got a mountain. I got a 10-year goal that I started this year. And like, but I'm saying it too much. So I'm going to pull it back. So help me out, guys. Let's do a tally. By the end of the episode, we aren't going to count. We'll check next week and see how many 100%s I say. That one doesn't count. That was an example. Starting now.
That's still two. He said
let's
it.
Do it.
It still counts.
Let's do
All
it.
All right. So moving on to Sons of Anarchy. It debuted September 3rd, 2008. Big question for you. Was this even a big thing down in Australia?
Here's the thing. I wasn't in Australia while it was happening, but I will express to you how much of a big thing it was to me. Would you like me to show you?
Oh, God. What do you have? What do you have?
2008. It started. I was on a 2-week vacation with my fiance where I asked her to marry me, right? And the gift was, when you do an engagement thing, we're in Hawaii, I'm planning to ask her to marry me. We're thinking, okay, next year we're going to get married. I've got to do the proposal thing. And so I give her a ring and she gave me an engagement present and then she gave me a wedding present on the wedding. This is how much she knew I was into Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, Harley Davidson motorcycle watch.
This is, and it's a legit one, this is my engagement present from my wife that I wear on special occasions, but it's heavy, it's fucking like all metal, it's dope, it's awesome. And the reason, by the way, was she said, I love that you love that show, it's really nice. You're never getting a motorcycle, we're still going to be debating.
And that was going to be my next question is, being such a huge fan of Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
Are you a bike rider?
Yeah, I'm going to go on record because I'm not ashamed. I'm not proud. I've got nothing to prove. I've done my thing. I'm good. I want to be one of those guys at 55 years old that buys a Harley and just drives 2 hours north, gets a coffee, and comes on back with a bunch of other guys that are 55. I want to be a retirement Harley guy that just a little drive, get a coffee, hang out with some other dudes that are like, remember back in the day? And then we drive back there.
I've always thought it'd be
that's
really,
what I want
to
do.
Ever since I was a kid, I always thought it'd be cool to have a motorcycle. I always thought it'd be cool to be a biker, kind of a dude. Mm. Not a one percenter, because that's just terrifying to me, hence the Sons of Anarchy stuff. But I don't think I could
hold
do
on
it.
A second. What's a one percenter?
So a one percenter is when you look at motorcycle gangs, I can't remember who it was from. The government was talking about how motorcycle gangs were becoming a problem. Mm-hmm. And then somebody had mentioned that it was only 1% of the gangs that were really an issue. Most of them are just true motorcycle clubs. They're just a group of guys. They're not dealing meth. They're not murdering people. It's not all this stuff that we're obviously we talk about here when it comes to Sons of Anarchy, things like that. And it's not anything that needs to be a concern. It's just that 1%. So you get some of these motorcycle clubs that proudly wear a badge that says 1%er on it, meaning like we are the bad of the bad.
Wow. Wow.
Dude,
okay,
I watched a lot of Gangland back in the day, man. Oh,
I did not know that. Isn't that that's just a red flag to the cops to be like, yo, follow us. We're doing some shit.
Kind of. But it's, you know, it's a badge of honor having that 1%er on there.
So yeah, your wife said about you getting a motorcycle. Does your mom let you go out and play?
I think she would be totally cool with it.
Oh, good for you, man. Yeah, here's the problem. With mine, I know why my wife doesn't want me to get one, and I fucking agree with her. I'm like, yeah, if I get a head injury, end of game, game over. Well, I'm like, I don't want to do that either.
We're a fucking
Yeah, but
helmet.
You can still, you're going 60, 80 miles an hour. Like,
I mean, no, you got a point.
You're done.
See, and that's one of the reasons why I have backtracked on wanting to get a motorcycle, because I know I would probably crash the goddamn thing.
But here's the thing. I know several people. This is the thing. It's not unreal to me. It's a real concept. I know several people over the course of my life that have died in motorcycle accidents, and the other people that didn't were in recovery for years. Like, there's no motorcycle accident where you're like, yeah, just a scratch. They're always fucking life-altering events. Yeah. So it's not really worth it.
Although, it's worth it. I mean, it's pretty effing cool, like, riding a
motorcycle.
It's
so cool.
Like, the midday guy at KLAQ when I was working there was Glenn Garza, who you know well. Like, you went shooting
Glenn.
With him
I love Glenn.
And so, Glenn, he would arrive at... but right around an hour or so before our show was over, when he would come in and take over, and he would have to drive right by the studio to get to the back parking lot. And when he would get to the studio, he'd give it a like a nice big old motorcycle. And I always thought that was super cool, man. Like, and even at, he's like, I always kind of liked it. He's like, that's cool, right? Like, he wanted to make sure he wasn't like upsetting me, the producer, by making this noise. I was like, no, like that's,
you know why? Because he's not one of the 1%.
Yeah, well, but yeah, because we would also get upset because on Fridays the goddamn cleaning crew would come in, or like the yard crew, and they would, like, the final half hour of the show is when they would choose to cut the goddamn bushes right outside the studio. So you hear, and we would get pissed about that, and we were like, no, motorcycle cool, yard equipment not.
No, good.
So we'll dive right into Sons of Anarchy right here. So it debuted September 3rd, 2008 by the show's third season. It was the highest rated series on FX. Seasons 4 and 5, the premieres of those seasons, they were the highest rated telecasts in FX history.
Yeah, it was a big deal. Everyone was talking about it. Not too surprisingly, but series creator Kurt Sutter was inspired by the Hells Angels saying they went from being this fun-loving fraternity to pretty much an organized crime syndicate. Sutter said, I thought, what if the first guy who put the jacket on his back and said, hey, let's go out, have a few beers, and start some trouble, how would that guy feel about what the club eventually became? Which is a really good genesis of an idea.
Yeah, and if you've watched Sons of Anarchy, you're obviously going to be able to kind of like get that sort of the feeling with Jax, and then going back to his father and everything else, and how the story ends up playing out. So Sutter, he's married to Katie Sagal. She's famous for playing Peg Bundy in Married with Children, and also the voice of Leela on Futurama. Now, crazy story about her dad that I heard years ago and how he passed away. I don't know if a lot of people know this story. He was filming a miniseries, World War III, up on Mount Hood, which is just east of Portland, Portland, Oregon. He was partially decapitated when he turned the wrong way exiting a helicopter. He walked into the tail rotor blades. I apologize for anybody who's a little squeamish on this. And he was rushed.
How about a fucking warning? You got to do a disclaimer before this, man.
He was rushed to a Portland hospital. He died 5 hours later. Think about that. He lived for 5 hours after he was
partial decapitation. So that's like that's a section of head.
This is why
this
is why helicopters scare the shit out of me, because he just truly they did an investigation as to what happened, and truly it was he exited and he walked the wrong way. And I believe one of the reasons as well, like, you couldn't see because the weather was so bad. So this happened up on Mount Hood at Timberline Lodge. Have you ever seen The Shining?
Yeah.
So you know the exterior shots of the hotel?
Yeah.
That's Timberline Lodge. The interior is not. The exterior, that's Timberline. Now, there's no maze at Timberline Lodge, by the way. And that's right at the top of Mount Hood. So my understanding, too, if I'm remembering correctly, it was a nasty, nasty, stormy day with a lot of snow coming in. So you couldn't really see. And he turned the wrong way.
That's a good name for a band, Partially Decapitated. That'd stop and make you think. It really would. It'd be like, that's a hardcore band for sure. It's definitely...
Yeah, that's not happy-go-lucky reggae band.
Yeah. Back to Sons of Anarchy. Hamlet served as a framework for the show as it follows Jax Teller and his struggle with his stepfather running his birthright towards a dark direction. It's starting to come together as to why the show was so successful. It was pulled from the genesis with several amazing ideas.
Yeah, and... Sutter came out and said that it's not like we had the storyline for Hamlet up on a board and we were tracking how that story went. It's just that was a heavy influence, and then that storyline kind of lends itself for you to follow that storyline. Mm. So that's kind of what it was. So Charlie Hunnam, he played the main character, Jax Teller. He said he really got into the role, going so far as to not drive a car for the entire 7 years. He only rode a motorcycle and even started hanging out with real bikers and occasionally acting like a maniac.
So what's your first thought when you hear that? Because I know what my first thought is.
My first thought is a question is, was it the one percenters?
This is the difference between Brandon and me. My first thought was 7 years on a motorcycle is 7 years worth of opportunities to be partially decapitated yourself and fuck the whole show up. Seriously, if I was making the show, I'd be like, it's nice that you're method. It's nice that you're committed. Get off the fucking bike. You're a very important part of the story.
Yeah,
like,
the what story happens doesn't if exist he eats without shit? You. Like, think yeah, about, I mean, like granted, if, they did the spinoff, and we'll get to that spinoff here in a second. But yeah, also a real quick note on Charlie Hunnam as well. So did you know that he was the original guy that was supposed to play the lead in 50 Shades of Grey?
Whoa, no, I didn't know that. You know, it's funny. I've never seen those movies.
I haven't. I've heard did I actually see one? No, my wife watched them. I think I watched part of one with her at one point.
Yeah.
And then, speaking of that too, have you ever heard of the Danny DeVito rule?
No.
So the main dude is kind of a psychopath. Like, all of this shit that he does, the only reason that it's okay is because the guy is attractive. The Danny DeVito rule is, if you take out whoever that person is and you put Danny DeVito in his place and he looks like a psychopath, this original guy's a psychopath. You're only not seeing it because he's attractive. That's it.
Yeah.
And that's what 50 Shades of Grey. But what ultimately happened with Charlie Hunnam was, I guess his look didn't, like, it's not what people envisioned when they would read the books. So there was a lot of backlash on that part. So he ended up not getting the part and went to some other dude. The movies were terrible anyway. So,
well, yeah, I haven't seen him, but I know he was perfectly cast for Sons of Anarchy. And it's funny thing that most people don't realize is that he's British, but he's cheap British. He's not like Monarchy, very much with a cup of tea, madame. He's really like street British.
Monarchy.
Madame. Yes, a cup of tea and a biscuit, madame. No, I can't do the accent that he does, but it's really kind of fuck off, man.
That's right. How quickly? Monarchy. Like, that's the first
monarchy. Word that comes to monarchy. Yeah, well, you think of, because that's what the Brits do. We'll move on.
Yeah.
The guy that played the series favorite, Happy Loman, I don't know why I can't remember which one Happy Loman is.
He wasn't one of the main characters, but he was the sergeant at arms, I believe, or something similar to that. He was the guy that was always down to go kill some people.
Yeah.
If I sent you a picture, you would know exactly who he is.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, I know. Can you do that for me right now? Because it's going to bother me. It's going to really bug me. So I'm going back to what I was saying before. The guy that played the series favorite, Happy Loman, he was an actual Hell's Angel. The actor who played that character was an actual Hell's Angel, which probably explains why he was so convincing and people loved him so much. David LaBrava was brought on to be... Sorry that you heard that right there.
That's David my LaBrava message I just sent him.
It was brought on to be a technical advisor originally, but he showed Sutter scripts he had written and asked for a chance to be on the show, and Sutter obliged. So he actually got on the show by writing some scripts for the show. He was like, I remember when I was a Hell's Angel, some crazy shit, wrote it down and said, try this, got on the show.
And I can't remember what episode it was, but he wrote a full episode.
That's fantastic.
So if you see his picture, you now know who we're talking about, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, and he looks like a mother.
He looks like a bad motherfucker. David LaPrada. Yeah, I'm gonna look up that real quick. That's your third time.
Yeah, I just did it. Third. Again.
Are we including the other
now,
ones?
Now I can't stop hearing it. Now.
Good.
All right. So you're up.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to look up here if we had. God, it was one episode. Oh, here we go. Yeah, he also co-wrote season 4, episode 10, titled Hands, the only episode in 7 seasons that ever won an award.
Nice.
An honorable mention from Time Magazine. Wow, there you go. That's what's up.
There you go. Good for him, man.
So the original pilot did not have Ron Perlman playing Clay Morrow. Imagine a show without Ron Perlman.
That is weird, isn't it?
Played by Scott Glenn. He's famous for Hunt for the Red October, The Silence of the Lambs, Backdraft, and Daredevil. You know the blind guy that trains Daredevil?
Oh, okay. Yep.
I believe that is Scott Glenn. See, now I'm saying it and I'm backing off like a bitch when I know it's okay. Him, but now I got to confirm that we're not giving fake information out there.
All right, so you confirm that while I read this.
Yeah, he was in the Defenders and all that other good stuff, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to give a disclaimer for the people listening, because this is another slightly intense part. So just if you skip forward 1 minute, if you want to skip this, okay? If the last one made you go to the next thing. So the actor who played Half Sack met a tragic end. A couple of years after leaving the show, he was found dead in a driveway after allegedly beating his 81-year-old landlady to death. The actor had been dealing with several mental health issues.
Severe.
That is fucked up.
Yeah. So we can move on from that. So it just did something I think that was at least worth mentioning. So the show ended up spinning off Mayans MC. Sutter ended up getting fired from that show because he went on to do The Bastard Executioner, which was also on FX. It just never quite grabbed an audience and it just wasn't.
Okay.
I think I tried to watch it. It wasn't very good. So then they ended up doing the spinoff of Mayans MC. And so Sutter claims that Disney, who owns Fox, so they're like who own everything, they're eventually going to own the world, is that they didn't like an off-color joke that he made about Walt Disney. There's another version of the story that he got fired because there was a lot of complaints about his behavior behind the scenes. Either way, who really knows at this point? But with Mayans MC, I actually know one of the guys that's on it, Rocco. It's Rocco lived here in El Paso. He would come into the radio station every now and then. I got him to curse on the air. I think he dropped an S-bomb on the air, which was kind of cool. And then he would come in and do the After Buzz with me and stuff like that. And so now he's going on. And we had him on the air and we asked him, because he's a military guy. Like he's a tattooed up, hardcore looking son of a bitch. One of the nicest guys on the damn planet, man. Like he is such a, he's a sweetheart. But he doesn't look it. Like, he looks like a biker.
He looks dangerous, yeah.
And so we asked him, like, how long have you been riding? And he said he hadn't ridden a motorcycle until he got the role. He had never even ridden a motorcycle. So, of course, then he had to learn, and he had to kind of move on with that. And I do have another quick funny story about Sons of Anarchy. So I got into it, I think, season 3. And I believe it was, if I'm remembering this incorrectly at all, just go ahead and comment down below. If you're here on YouTube, if you're on another platform, shoot me a message if you want. But if I remember correctly, season 3 starts just crazy. They're at this funeral, or it might have been a season finale. Anyway, doesn't matter. So I got late into it. I didn't watch the first couple of seasons. So that Christmas, my parents got me DVDs of season 1 and season 2. My buddy Kai had gotten into it as well, and he was going to be staying with me for a little bit down in Florida. So as we're flying from Portland to Florida, he and I are on the plane. We've got my laptop, and he and I were going to spend the time watching Sons of Anarchy. So we decide, well, we're just going to take the last seats on the plane and call it good. Well, those seats did not recline. The seats in front of us did. So as we're sitting there trying to watch the show, the laptop won't open up all the way. because the person's person's reclined in front of us and we can't. So there's Kai and I hunkered down.
Oh, God.
Like snuggling, swear to God, like just like this is his head, like right here, like crunched down watching Sons of Anarchy, like a couple of couple of lovers back
there. Couple of friends.
Yeah,
couple of really close friends.
And yeah.
Yeah.
So we had, I mean, it was pretty entertaining for us because it was, you know, we were watching Sons of Anarchy, but it was hilarious because our whole thought was, well, we don't have to worry about anything because we're going to be in the back of the plane. But yeah. Those seats didn't recline, and that bit
yeah, that's the worst.
Ass.
When you find out that you're on the back, it's the worst. Like it really, especially on tour, because when you're on tour, for me, the plane flight, I would time my partying to the flight.
Yeah.
I'd be like, all right, I've got to make sure I leave enough in the bottle to pound right before we get through the gates. Because then we're going to walk on the plane in half an hour. The buzz is going to wear off. I'm going to fucking crash out, sleep the whole flight. If you find out you're in one of those seats, you're just, it's the worst fucking time to be there. Like I'm supposed to be asleep. My body's fully ready. Can't do it. Yeah. But you fuck yourself. You're like, you can only get angry at yourself. You can't yell at the stewardesses or the plane.
Well, yeah. And it's not, I mean, and there's a lot of people that I've talked to as well, where they're like, oh, they shouldn't be reclining the seats anyway. It's like, they fucking recline for a reason. If you're in front of me and you want to recline your seat, you are more than welcome to recline your seat. I hate that shit. And I'm not going to, like, as Kai and I are...
You know what really grinds my gears?
Yeah, and as Kai and I are back there trying to huddle up so we can get down low enough so we can actually see the fucking screen, I'm not going to say anything to the people in front of us. They bought their ticket just like we bought ours. Yeah. Ours didn't.
That'd be a perfect example of something that would land on Reddit under Am I the A-Hole?
Which is a perfect transition as we go to Am I the A-Hole for getting the last two portions of chicken at a restaurant. So Shim's already read this one. Normally what we try to do is I want Shim to not read it so I can get his gut reaction based on the headline. I'm not too concerned about whether or not he thinks this person is the a-hole. I think we'll all kind of have a consensus. I really want to know how Shim would react in this situation.
Yeah.
So here we go. There's a local restaurant that runs a special deal from 6 to 8. Basically, you choose from rice or noodles, then two sides from their selection, chicken, pork, vegetables, etc., at a really low price. The food itself is also pretty good, especially their honey soy chicken, which is very popular. I sometimes stop by on my way home from work, and I always go for the chicken and another side, or two portions of chicken. Although the deal itself lasts until 8, they state that they stop the kitchen for this particular deal by 7:30. The restaurant is open until late, but they stop refilling/cooking for this by 7:30. So if you get there later, you just have to choose from the sides that are still available as some run out. Last night, I decided to eat dinner there, but I worked late, and by the time I arrived, it was nearly 7:30. I stood in line, went to pick my selections, and they had barely any honey soy chicken left. I asked for two portions of the chicken, which cleared it out. I was about to sit down with my food when the girl that was behind me in the line came up and said it was selfish of me to get all the chicken knowing that they won't be refilling it. She was with another girl, and they both seemed kind of pissed. Am I the a-hole?
All right. So do I go first or do you go first?
Well, I mean, I'll flat out say, no, you're not the a-hole. You were there in line. You're fine.
No, I think it's the right of the woman sitting down to say, it's not my fault your mother didn't know how to raise children. Just seriously, that is like a little bitch move that a kid comes up. If you're in a family setting and you're 5, and the mother has made a tub of chicken and the brother or something takes like 3 scoops of chicken and doesn't share and leave any for the family, then you're like, hey, don't take all the chicken. This ain't a family. It's a business. Do your job. I'm just sorry. I'm like, it's so hard. It's a hard fucking no. But what was your question about me? What would I do in that situation?
Okay, so let's say you're the one. You go up, you get the final two things of chicken. You go
okay,
sit down,
I'll tell you what. This is the problem. I don't do well in restaurants. I don't do well in restaurants under confrontation, okay? If someone, because there's a fucking specific social etiquette. It's clear. It's not even written down. It's common knowledge of the things that you do and don't do in fucking restaurants. And things where like, it's everything. Everything is, it's a line. There's a line. It's a 1, 2, 3. Go in, pay money, get food. No food? Can I have something different? No? Then fucking leave. Go to other restaurant. There's no gray area for restaurants. And these people that are like, they treat the restaurant like it's their home, like they're entitled to something. Nah, that's the shit that bugs me. But let me tell you when I nearly fucking lost it. Okay. This is one of my best stories at a burrito place, the name of which I forget. What's it? Uno Mas, Baquito Mas. Okay. Baquito Mas, 10 fucking 12 years ago. So this is what's up. And people who are fans of mine from the Hollywood Rebellion and from my Twitch stream, you'll know the story, but this is it. I go in, I order my burrito. The burrito comes out. I'm quite hungry. So all I need is my little thing of salsa because I've been waiting a while. I want my thing of salsa to go with the chips. And there is the salsa bar. The salsa. I want my salsa. You got a salsa? Not salsa, salsa. I want my salsa. And there's a salsa bar with 8 or 12 fucking little things with salsa. There's 12 individual different types of salsa. And I know the one I want, and it's right there, and there's plenty to go around, and there's this one little kid in front of me, and he's scooping up, and he's prepared 12 empty fucking containers, and he's scooping up and organizing and getting one of each. And I'm hungry, and he's in the way, and there isn't a little thing on the side where I can, it's just built the way that it's like one at a time. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And I'm looking around at the parents, trying to do eye contact to be like, he's taking a long fucking time. Like for a couple of minutes, this kid's there scooping him up perfectly, making sure not to make a mess. And I'm like, God damn, make a mess. Go faster. Finally, this kid finishes his fucking 12 things, puts them on a stack, gets them on the tray. He turns around. I'm about to lay in and be like, you know, it's really rude if you know someone's behind you to do this. You're never going to eat 12 salsas. Yeah, go ahead.
Age of the child.
8.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm thinking I'm going to be that guy that's like, hey, next time, I'm going to politely but firmly say, yo, next time if there's someone behind you, it's rude to take that long for a bunch of salsas that everyone knows you're never going to finish. Just get the ones you want and bounce, right? I'm like, I'm going to teach this kid a lesson. So are you ready for this? This is when I got fucking owned by an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
The kid turns around. He turns around with his tray. 12 stacked neatly next to his food. He turns around. He looks up at me with the eyes of pure innocence and says, it's nice to try new things, and walks away.
Oh, he's a sweetheart.
And I was like, I'm such a prick.
Yeah.
I'm such a prick. And I'm like, am I the a-hole?
Yeah.
I'm so lucky I didn't say anything.
Well, I was going to say, like, you would have been.
Yeah.
But luckily for you, that kid, that the 8-year-old was vastly more mature than you were. Yeah.
I just was like, oh, because the problem was he showed a mirror to my 35 years of the world beating the innocence out of me, where I was like, I remember when I used to like to try new things. I just want to eat and fucking consume and move and not savor. And like, I'm like, that. Where did my 8-year-old go? Where's my inner boy?
He's still in there, man. He's still in there. There was one, I was living in Florida and I had just gone to a Florida Marlins game, heading back. It's crazy late. It's like 11:30 at night. But the girl I was dating at the time, we hadn't gotten any dinner yet. So we stop off at Pollo Tropical. Chicken. Pollo. Right? So we're in the drive-thru. And it's already taken 15 minutes just to get the two cars in front of us. We finally get up to order. Oh, can I get this chicken plate? Yada, yada, yada.
I'm sorry, but we're out of chicken today.
How did I know?
Your name's Pollo Tropical. Yeah. How the fuck are you out of chicken?
Right.
So she starts getting snippy with the people that are taking the order. And then she's like, well, fine, then give me this. She's like, why don't you tell me what you do have, and I will order that. And so they tell her, and she goes, fine, give me that. And she looks at me, and she goes, what do you want? And I look at her, I go, nothing.
A new girlfriend?
Yeah, I go, nothing. Because I'm like, anything that we get from here now, they're going to at least spit in it. Like, that's a good, that's on the good scenario. They're probably going to do some far worse stuff to it because of how fucking rude you've been. Don't fuck with the people that make your food. Like, I know you're hangry, but shut up. Like, no, like I don't want anything from here. And then she started to get snippy with me about, well, we're not stopping off at another place. Fine, I will fucking walk to Taco Bell. I don't give a shit. Yeah. I'm not getting food from here. I'm sorry.
And that really speaks volumes about the night that you had when you're willing to walk to get Taco Bell.
Really quick here, before we move on to the five fast questions, there was, so over on Reddit, for this, where this person put the Am I the A-hole, they put a, the top answer was fucking hilarious about this person who got the final two orders of chicken. Guilty chicken is tastier chicken, not the A-hole.
Guilty chicken? What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know, but I thought that was really funny. And it says here, so this other person said, so based on their theory, no one should ever take the last portion of something. Or was it they wanted the last portion? I think it was because the person, the girl that ordered the back-to-back is that it was back-to-back. She ordered two. I guess I'm assuming that it was a girl. Yeah, right there. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, it said it in the, I didn't read it at the beginning, but yeah, it was a female. So yeah, so I think it's because it was back-to-back.
No, I got, no, come on. There's, no one's got sympathy all for right. this shit. Five fast questions.
Are you ready? Are you ready,
ready
for this? Are you ready to get through it?
Hold on. Yes, I'm
shim,
ready.
Make sure Shim is ready to roll. And we're coming down in 3, 2. All right, it is time for five fast questions. Mr. Shimmore, you've got the questions. I've got the answers. Fire away, sir.
One, what book do you revisit frequently?
The Tao Te Ching.
Two, what movie scene still pisses you off to this day?
Oh, God. Anything from Phantom Menace with Jar Jar Binks. Any scene.
Three. What do you do that constantly irritates you?
I forget people's names all the time.
Four. What song is stuck in your head right now?
No Control by Pepper. Oh, my God. All night last night. This is your station with no... Oh, go ahead.
Five. You're the first person to land on Mars. What are your first words?
Looks like we made it!
Oh, no!
And that is five fast questions!
The faster, the better.
Yeah. All right, let's go through these real quick.
So what, the book that you revisit frequently?
I read the Tao Te Ching quite frequently.
I should have said, and why?
And well, I mean, in five fast questions, we can't really describe why.
No, I know, but now I'm asking why.
I mean, it's really because, like, I'm not a religious person, although I do go to a Catholic church. But it's something that's helped, it helps center me, it helps remind me that the universe is a lot bigger than we really think it is, because, a lot of the Tao Te Ching discusses, almost like leadership roles sometimes, which I think is beneficial, but in general, it's really, like, a lot of it is... I can't remember if this was one of them or not, but it's basically like nature doesn't need to try and things still get done. So just relax.
I like that. So what scene in a movie still pisses you off to this day? I can't even remember what you said. I was moving so fast.
Anything,
go ahead.
Anything with Jar Jar Binks. I mean, there's the first scene where he runs into Qui-Gon Jinn and he's like, are you intelligent? And he's like, I speak. And he's like, the ability to speak does not make you intelligent. It's like, shut the fuck up. Like, why?
Yeah.
And look, I'm not blaming the actor, because that dude went through some shit, because he got blamed. The guy that voices Jar Jar Binks, he got blamed for that role. No, blame George Lucas's ass. Like, yeah. That's not no, that guy.
We could do a whole thing. We should do a whole thing on Star Wars at one point, because I rewatched the first three recently, and I was like, man.
Wait, original three or prequels?
No, the first...
The original. So, A New
episode,
Hope.
Episode four, five, and six. Okay. So, I watched those. The first movie is a masterpiece, and the other two are some... There's some self-indulgent shit that you're like, dude, they knew they could get away with anything, and they just didn't give a shit.
Dude, Ewoks took down the fucking Empire, man.
Exactly.
But Empire Strikes Back. Stupid. Empire Strikes Back.
But do you know why?
Okay,
we're going to say this, and then we're going to move on to that. Do you know why the Ewoks took down the Empire and why they were in the movie in the first place?
Well, I assume they were in the movie because they wanted some sort of cheap, like cute merchandise to sell, which is the reason
that's
why, 100% they had, why they had Pogs.
Four.
Was it Pogs? Is that what the Porgs? Whatever the fuck it was. But anyway,
they built the entire movie to sell merch.
Yeah.
They introduced all these amazing ships, characters, animals, vessels, fuck yeah, all that stuff. So, what do you do that constantly irritates you? This is interesting.
God. I can never remember people's names. And he always, you know how they always tell you, like when you meet somebody, if you're shaking their hand or whatever, repeat their name back, where they're like, yeah. Hi, I'm Shim. Hi, Shim, nice to meet you. I know to do that.
Yeah.
I never do. There's a black hole in my brain somewhere where it's just all these
you can fix
names.
That. I actually need to fix that too because I do the same thing, and it's really bad because the worst thing that you can do is walk up to someone that you've met a couple of times and go, "Have we met?" It's like it's the worst.
If I'm hanging out with you and I don't say your name, chances are I forgot. Dude, there was people I worked with in Florida for 7-8 years.
Yeah, that's bad though.
On a daily basis.
I do it now with parents of my kids' friends, and even my kids are like, "That's Charlize's mom." I never remember. What song is stuck in your head right now?
Oh my God. It's a song by a group called Pepper. And there was a playlist that I was listening to on Spotify. It's called like the Chill Mix. It's got like 311 and Sublime and stuff like that. It's like a stoner playlist, although I'm not stoned while I'm listening to it. But it's nice and relaxing while I'm doing some work and stuff. And there's this one fucking song. Like the lyrics like, this is your station under no control. And it's like, that was all, like last night I couldn't sleep. I had a really shitty sleep. And then at 4 o'clock in the morning I woke up. I could not get that out of my fucking head.
Did it actually keep you awake? Is that the reason you couldn't get back
to sleep?
I don't
think it's the reason why. I think my brain was like, well, we're awake, so let's fucking think of something. And it immediately goes to this song. It's a good song.
The hardest thing in the world is to turn your brain off.
I like the song, but holy fuck.
And then the last one was, you're the first person to land on Mars. What are your first words?
Yeah, saying, it looks like we made it. Because, I mean, that's my go-to now with my family, where if we're driving somewhere, like when we landed in Hawaii, I'm pretty sure that was the first thing. When we were on vacation, I'm pretty sure it's the first thing I said. When my wife and I would go to Austin, it would be the first thing I said.
And does your wife just think that's like the lamest dad joke in history now?
I think they've learned how to tune it out. I don't think they hear it. I don't think they hear it, but
my lamest thing was whenever we would start a tour, I would literally like whenever all the bags were packed and everyone was finally on the bus, I would just go like, on the road again. And then I'd stop.
I'm pretty sure I've done that too. When we were driving to Austin or we're driving somewhere, I do the exact same thing.
Yeah, but it's almost to the point now where you keep doing it because you know it's lame. It's almost like a rite of passage.
Well, it's almost like the looks like we made it has almost become my crutch. Like, you know how you'd always say 100%? Second something is finished or we've completed or we're at our destination, my go-to is looks like we've made it. So.
Wow.
But now we can, in regards to the end of this episode,
looks like we made it.
So coming up on Monday, we are going to be talking Limp Bizkit, Significant Other. It's going to be one episode because the next episode, because they really went boom, boom with Significant Other and Chocolate Starfish. They were just over a year apart. I think Significant Other was June of 99 and then Chocolate Starfish was October of 2000. And there's a lot of stuff that sort of intertwined between those where you had that Napster tour that they did where it was sponsored by Napster with Cypress Hill, by the way. So the only way to properly cover Limp Bizkit is we're going to do Significant Other for one episode, and then we're going to do Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavor.
It's going to be a good one. So with that, we're gonna roll out, and then we're going to roll back in. But
check out the socials, baby, at The Real Brandalorian. Yeah. You can see right down there, if I remember to put it down there. Shims is over there on his side as well. We've got a lot of cool shorts that we have coming up, not like shorts that we're wearing, but shorts that are videos going up on YouTube and Instagram and TikTok. So if you guys would please make sure that you go like that stuff. If you're here now, for the love of God, just if you're on YouTube, whoever's channel, go down and click like. If you're on Spotify, Apple, Google, go to our YouTube channel. You don't even have to watch it again. You don't even have to watch it at all. Just click like. That's all I want. Yeah,
appreciate it.
I just need that gratification. That's it.
Realize. No, it helps more than you guys realize. If you don't make YouTube videos and deal with this, you don't realize that. The reason everyone asks for those is because it helps boost the algorithm.
It vastly helps.
And
it takes
way.
A half a second for somebody to do it. So please.
And most importantly, thank you so much for your time and your energy for 100%. Listening to this. Your time is the most valuable thing that you have, 100%. Go and check out all the socials. And in the meantime, we'll see you on the Actual History of Rock podcast coming up in a couple of days.
On that note, his name is Shane. He's the rock star.
And his name is Brandon. He's the DJ. Class is
dismissed.
Boom.